This is the greatest season of your life. If it's according to your faith, if the word says according to your faith, be it unto you. The question is, what do you choose to believe? What would God reveal? What would God say? What would God show you if he knew you would believe what he said? You know, it stands to reason that when things happen, the mind of man wants a reason, right? Right? That's your turn. You say, right. Very good. But know this, my God, the only God, the eternal God, the everlasting God. Say, I'm not God, but God's in me. Say, I'm not God, but God's in me. Can you tell the difference? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, but I'm going to make you the light of the world. Can they tell the difference? If Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, that's the hope of glory. You need to know, you need to think, you need to figure it out, you need to understand. How many have ever been there? Like maybe even yesterday. No one in here? Wow. God, if I could only, if just help me understand. He is beyond reason. He is beyond explanation. Let your ear hear your mouth say that. Say, God, my God, is beyond reason. He's beyond explanation. God is so God. And I rejoice in the Lord always. Come on, tell yourself, I rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's do this for just a minute. The word says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God. Go ahead and shout. Yeah! With a voice of triumph. Shout unto God. Yeah! With a voice of praise. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and declare, God is with me. God is faithful. God is present. God is all power, all the time. And I will say of the Lord, you are my shield. You are my high tower. You are my strength. You are my salvation. You are God with me. God through me. God in me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you believe that, shout, yeah! One more time. Come on. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Lift your voice. Lift your hands. Bless his holy name. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Lift your voice, lift your hands, bless his holy name. You believe it? Say yeah. Yes. And amen. You can take your seats this morning. I heard this the other day when I was praying, meditating, thinking, and I'm gonna tell you what I heard and what I saw. I see a bright new image. I see a bright new image. When God made man in the Genesis of time, man was a bright new image. When man was born again, the scriptures call us the first fruit, meaning salvation hadn't happened until Christ came. And when Christ came, something new and something incredible happened. The word teaches us that the mercies, the blessings, the glory of God are new every single day. Yes. And I've been talking about a couple of things that just, I always ask God, what is it you want me to say? Let me be your voice in the earth. Doesn't mean anyone else can't. I just want to know that I am. And so I pray according to my faith. I believe in the fullness of God. How many believe in the fullness of God? How many even know what the fullness of God actually means? The fullness of God. The word says that Jesus was a man. Do we have any people in the house? Anyone not a people? And the word says, and the Spirit of God dwelt in him fully, fully embodied him. And Jesus didn't come to set us apart. He came to put us together. And it's really important to know that. In our faith, in our walk, anyone's faith, anyone walk, things happen. How many know things happen? How many know I know things happen? Things happen. Sometimes they look good, sometimes they look bad. But there's something about the Word that constantly connects us to who God is. How do you know? Who do you know God to be? God is good. God is good. I know him to be good. You can't have a relationship with someone you don't understand, that you don't know. You can't have a relationship, because relationship means the ability to relate with God. If I can't relate with you, I can't have a relationship with you, whether it's a friendship or whatever it is. In order for me to have, I've been married 43 years to my beautiful blonde wife right there. I know, and I don't even look 43, right? But miracles happen most every day. And what I fell in love with was our relationship between one another. And it's actually beyond explanation. I mean, she's beautiful, she's sweet, she's kind, she's gentle, she loves God with all of her heart, she loves me most all of the time, and she loves me all the time. She likes me most all the time. But the strength of that relationship, now, been married 43 years, but I'm no more married. Our marriage isn't any more of a marriage today than it was the day that I said I do. It's when I said I do, I did, and we are. And it was, and it is. And everything that God has orchestrated, your salvation, being born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, your blessing, which are beyond measure, beyond the ability to count them. God, the scriptures tell us God, his ways. I like to talk about God. You have to just deal with that. I talk about God. I don't like to talk about Diablo, the devil, what he thinks, what he wants. I just don't. So if that bothers you, you know, I'm not even sorry. I just like to glorify God. The word says, I'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him, because you trust in him. And I love what Devo said. Number one, Devo, a couple of things. I just read about Isaac digging the well before I got here. And just, I love what you said. There's so many things the devil gets blamed for, he doesn't even know how to do. I love that. Do you mind if I take that a little bit? I just love to glorify God, because what's the harm? What's the harm if I give God all the glory, we give God all the praise, and we don't care about what's his name, which is what I like to call him, because God is everything. The evil in the world, the bad stuff in the world. Do you realize in the New Testament church, that the word says that it's talking about the Antichrist, and the church has feared the appearance of the Antichrist forever. And the word literally says Paul actually is talking, and he says there were those that were with us for a while, and he said, and then they went away from us, and they began to preach a different gospel. And he said, so in reality, they were never with us. And he said, it's a lie. And he said, whatever is a lie is not of the truth. And I like that. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Believe this today. I hear a new exciting sound. I see a bright new image. I see very, very tasty new fruit. I see a new wine, as the scriptures describe, that are going to discern. And some wineskins, it's going to break. And others, it's going to call for new wineskins. Now, the word says if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it breaks, and you lose the wine, and the wineskin is destroyed. But new wine is put into a new wineskin. And the reason for that is it's the character of the grape. It's no more a grape than it was when it was put in the skin. But in the Old Testament, if they put a new skin or new wine into an old skin, as grapes began to ferment, which they did very rapidly, there was not a lot of refrigerators, Frigidaire, and those who weren't around then, so it began to ferment in the wineskin very quickly, and as it did, it expanded, and if the skin was old and dry, it broke the skin and the wine fell out. It's pretty simple. So the word says, you put new wine in new wineskins. Why? So it can expand. So it can expand and grow. This is the teaching of Christ. This is what he said. This is how he taught us to think. Now, the power of the body, the power of Christ within you is not going to become any more powerful in you than it is right now. Because if it's Christ, Christ doesn't come in parts and pieces. He is complete, he is whole, he is full. So consider Christ, and the word referencing new wine is referencing the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, because when the Spirit comes in you, he begins to reveal the manifold wisdom of God, create incredible, new, and wonderful things. Now, we learn new things all the time. Everyone goes through what James refers to as the trying of your faith. Some people will say, person is attacking me, or an enemy is attacking me, or the enemy is attacking me. But when Paul was talking about those that went out from him, he said this. He said, you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Remember that scripture? And he says, he's already here. And then this is what he says. Very interesting. He says, anyone that denies me, that is, he is, or she is, the Antichrist. Interesting, right? Now, you've heard pastors say many, many times, you don't need a devil. Anyone can be a devil. All you have to do is take on the same characteristics that the devil did. You deny Christ. You deny the power of Christ. You walk in disobedience and sin because you make yourself to be a god. So here's the thing. And this is what God has put in my heart. So I'm sharing this with you. A prophetic word for you. I hear a very exciting new sound in the body of Christ, in the earth. And I see a new fruit. I see a new fruit. And the fruit is in the root. So when you plant a tree, let's call it an orange tree. We have a beautiful orange tree in our yard. And we love to share the fruit with anyone because it just tastes so good. We didn't see the leaves when we first planted it. We didn't see the fruit when we first planted it. But all the essence, every ingredient, all the DNA of the fruit that we enjoy today was already in the root. It was in there. Because God is full, and what God creates, he creates in fullness. Now, it makes itself known in various and sundry different ways, meaning the root. And the root is the fruit, and the fruit comes from the root. So it's all there. The minute you plant a tree, the fruit is actually in the root. You don't see it, but it's there. If it wasn't there, it would never show up on the branch. Jesus said like this. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. When rain comes, the same fruit is going to taste different. The same grapes, since Jesus referred to grapes and the vine a lot. The grape is the same grape, but it tastes different. It takes on a different palate, as it were, a different aroma. It tastes different based on the weather. Same grape, same soil. But if it's a rainy season, how many realize we've had some rain? That's why some folks stayed home today. It was raining. Learn to swim. I don't know. But when rain comes, the same grape that happened last year is going to taste different this year, but it's the same grape, still in its fullness, the same grape. If it's dry, a dry year, that same grape is going to taste different. It's the same, but it tastes different, okay? I have difficulty with the word tomorrow. I don't like it. I don't like it because Jesus said not to think about it. The word says this is a day God has made. The word tells us in the latter days. I wonder what that means. What is the latter days? Is it when we're building a ladder? We're trying to get to heaven? Or is it the close of a time? What is the latter day? And when is that coming? Paul said the hour, not the year. He said the hour is upon us, right here, right now. Something's happening today. He said spirit of Antichrist is here. People are pouting, or parting, and they're pouting too. And the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. Today, Paul said today. And Paul experienced the glory and the power of God. How many ways is God going to make himself known? We don't know. His ways are eternal, endless. I don't know. But Jesus said not to consider tomorrow. So I learned through Revelation that tomorrow doesn't matter because it'll never happen. Because 24 hours from today won't be tomorrow. It will be today. All right? Simple. Did I lose anyone yet? All right. Now, there's a little bit of humor involved today, but I'm prophesying to you. So hear the word of the Lord. Would you know prophecy if you were hearing it? Would you know a prophetic anointing if you were under it? Would you know? God wants us to know. God doesn't want time to be diverted. But religion and doctrine, unintentionally, many, many times, religion and doctrine have a way of creeping into the society or the culture of the church. And it can affect the church, just like different weather can affect the grapes or the oranges or whatever it may be. Because change brings change. Change brings change. Jesus is new every day. But he's not any more full today than he was yesterday, and he won't be any more God tomorrow than he is today. Are you with me? You won't be any more saved if you are saved. How do you get that way? You ask Christ to come into your life, be Lord of your life, and you trust in him. You believe that he came, he gave his life, he shed his blood for your sins, he paid for it in full. He was raised by the glory of the Father on the third day, ascended to the Father's right hand, makes intercession for you. In other words, says, as I am, I've made them to be. They live through me now. It's no longer them, it's me. God looks at you, sees you through Christ, receives you in his love, because he loved you from the beginning. He wanted to. God wasn't looking for a way to judge or condemn the world. He was looking for a way to save it. And he looked at his son, he looked at the word of God, and he said, you're the way. And he sent him. And through Christ, for eternity, we're born again. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The word says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The word also says this. It says, put on Christ, or be clothed in Christ Jesus. Interesting. Put on or be clothed in Christ. These new things, these things I'm telling you that I have seen, a new aroma, a new sound, an exciting new sound, an exciting generation. I see a window. We were at TBN a few weeks ago, and we were in one of the upper windows. You know where I'm talking about, those windows that encompass the stage down there. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking through the window, and I'm talking to Matt, and we're getting ready to shoot something. And I looked through the window and I said, wow. I said, I feel like I'm looking through the kingdom of God. I'm looking through the window of the kingdom of God. Sounds strange, I know. I get it. I am a little strange, I admit it. And then I heard and I saw. Why is this just glass? Why am I looking? Why did this spirit of revelation just hit me? You're looking through the windows of the kingdom of God. And I told man, I said, this is my favorite spot right here. And how many feet is it? It's like
20, 30, I don't know.
I think it's, yeah, just a lot. Lot of space. And I'm looking through, and all that we walked through, all that we looked at, this glass, this window, became and is my favorite spot to this day. I actually laid claim on it. I said, this is mine. This is my spot. And this is what I'm saying. God quickened me and said, anything that you look through, that you did through obedience of my word and by faith, you're looking through my eyes. You're looking through the eyes of the kingdom. And then it became very clear. and very understandable. But initially, in my mind, I'm thinking, how can I say, because I knew I was supposed to say, this is, I'm looking through the window of heaven. But God is in you in the full, and if we are looking through a word God has given you prophetically, a dream God has given to you, the Jehoshaphat at one time, he says, believe the word of the Lord and believe his prophets, you'll be established, and God will increase you. He'll make you successful. So what is it that we are supposed to know today? What is God saying to us today? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is the mind of God. As in any kingdom, the kingdom is determined by the mind of the king. However the mind thinks, that's what the kingdom becomes. It's pretty simple, right? Mind of God, kingdom of God. How can the kingdom of God be in me? Because the mind of Christ is in me, the spirit of Christ. And then the word says that the Holy Spirit seeks the deep things of God to reveal them to us. So I want to lock you into this idea. God is present right here, right now. We're as enjoined to Christ. If you're born of Christ, you're as enjoined to Christ right now as you will ever be. Christ is as full in you today as he will ever be. The experiences will transcend, will transform, will bring about a new awareness. But the fullness is there, just like the fruit is in the root, and you see it on the branch. Okay? So we're walking through today. You're walking through a time. And now I'm going to mess it up just a little bit for you. Are you ready? But it's not a process. And it's like, yeah, there he goes again. He's always got to take some other turn. And just to disagree. And I'm not trying to disagree with anything. And I know it's prominent to say that life is a process. You know, we have the promise, but you have to deal with the process. If I go out and I start to dig a hole, and I'm going to dig a hole 50 feet deep, and I start digging the hole, and I only dig 5 feet. I get out of the hole, put the shovel down, walk away because I'm finished for the day. Is it a hole, or is it becoming a hole? Six inches, 6 feet, 50 feet is a hole. The depth of that hole will change, but it's not going to be any more of a hole when I put the shovel down and walk away, then it's going to be a week from now. When they dug a hole, they were digging a hole. They were digging for water. Now, the hole is as much of a hole, the very first shovelful of dirt you pull out of it, as it's ever going to be. It may change in dimensions. It may change in depth. If it doesn't, you either have a very dull shovel or a very hard ground. But it's going to deepen the more you dig. But it's still a hole. Christ in you is as full as he will ever be the day you receive him. We will experience him in ways. The relationship will deepen just like the well will deepen when you continue to dig it. But it's not a process. It's an experience. It has been a deceptive thing, and I say this as Paul said, it's been a deceptive thing to consider that our life in Christ is a process, meaning we are responsible for making it full. And the word says, we cannot boast. It's not of us, lest we should boast. It's the gift of God. And God didn't say, here's a little piece of me. Here's a little bit of salvation. Here's a little bit of forgiveness. He says you were born again. You were saved. You are filled with the Spirit. You are, let me actually read it to you. First of all, in Colossians 4 and verse 12, it says, I'm praying for you. Now, I pray for you a lot so you may come and stand in full maturity. Not that through a process you will become mature, but that you will become mature right here, right now, today. Say, today. Say, this is the day God has made, and I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. Colossians 2:10, and you have been made or been filled in Him who is the head of all authorities, all principalities, all powers. You have been made full. Another word, Greek word, is brought to full age. In other words, you're as old as you're going to get in the fullness of God. Okay, this is it. Christ warned us about doctrine. Paul warned us about doctrine. Gary Zamora is warning you about doctrine. And here's the doctrine. Christ is not a process. The gospel is not the gospel of evolution. It is the word of revelation. Okay? And we shouldn't preach the gospel of evolution, because the gospel is not evolution. It is revelation. And the Spirit makes us alive. And this is where our kingdom of God needs to speak through us. The kingdom of God within you. I'm walking in the fullness of the power of the Lord. James said it like this, even when trials and temptations come, he had a revelation. He says, listen, I've learned something. He said, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you fall into the different trying of your faith, knowing that the trying of your faith makes you stand. Makes you stand. Take your position. Take your position. What is your position? Take your position. Jehoshaphat one day, he says, listen, he says, I want you to be encouraged and I don't want you to be afraid. He said, don't be afraid, and this would make you afraid. Don't be afraid of the horde of armies that are coming up to destroy and kill you. I don't know, Jehoshaphat, maybe you could have said it in a different way, but that's what he said. Ammon, Moab, Seir, they're all coming and they're coming to kill you, but don't be afraid. It'd be like me standing up here saying, listen, we're going to have an incredible earthquake. It's going to shake and rattle the buildings. You know, the overpasses are going to collapse. You know, half the world is going to be devoured, but don't be afraid. And that's what he literally said. There is a horde, an army that's coming to destroy you, but don't be afraid. But this is what's so powerful. He said, stand firm, take your position. Stand firm, hold your position. He says, you're going to go down. He said, they're going to ascend up some other way. And he said, but stand your position and you won't have to fight. You won't have to fight. Listen, if God called us to fight, I'd be the best boxer in the world. Because when I was first saved, I was the biggest demon-chasing, devil-fighting Christian on the planet. And I mean it. Man, I'd nail his head to the tree with a nail. You think I'm kidding. I screamed at him. I thought, I saw them everywhere. I remember driving down the road one time, no joke, and I said, I see demons everywhere. And then I read in the scriptures where it says, God has locked them up in chains. And I went, well, maybe that wasn't demons. Imagination. And the word warns us about our imagination. But doctrine, the doctrine of men, can be very covert, and this is what happens. This is why we're taught some of the things that we're taught that hold us back. Doesn't hold God back. We blame God for only showing up at the last hour. He was there before your hour began. He was there before you woke up. And He was there in full array of glory, honor, truth, spirit, and power. But you're only going to experience God to the degree that you believe God. That's why the Word tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him. You can't do it. But with faith we can. So God created us, this universe, this dimension of people. And God put Himself into faith. That's you and I. And God became an incredible new experience, and He'll do it forever because God is eternal. There is no end to His glory. Isn't that awesome? I mean, isn't that awesome? Don't stare at me with your head cocked. Say, that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? God is eternal in all His ways, and He chose you to dwell in. He said, I'm going to make My abode with you, if you're old King James, or I'm going to dwell in you, or I'm going to make you My house, or My temple, My dwelling place. And He said, I'll be to you God, and you'll be to Me people, and we will become united as one. I've said this numerous times recently, that when Jesus came, He rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom. The veil was a representation of separation between God and man because of man's sin. So only the priest after going through everything that he was told to do in obedience to the covenant, old covenant, would go in and basically intercede, make sacrifice for the people. Jesus said, I'm that sacrifice, because this can't do it. Because the consciousness of man is constantly spotted even when the offering is brought. Because when the sacrifice is brought, the sinner remembers his sins. And the word says, so the consciousness of man could never be purged from his sins, even though he knew the priest went in and made sacrifice for his sins. God is for you. The battle is mine, says God. So Jehoshaphat, he tells the people, go, watch. They go, they watch, and they destroy one another. They just destroy one another. The word says the Lord set ambush against them. God has set ambush against your enemy and your enemies. No weapon formed against you can prosper. 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you've set your affections, that's what we do here at PFC, we set our affections on Him. He'll keep you in all your ways. No evil will come nigh you. No evil will befall you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the stilled waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores your soul. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shouldn't fear any evil, because God is with you. His rod and His staff will comfort you. He'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He'll anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. And David literally said this, only good will happen to me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, doctrine becomes indoctrination. And man, in his own mind, which the word warns us against, it says the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. Let's bounce back over to James. Count it all joy when you enter into the different trials of your faith. Count it all joy. Typically, based on doctrine, when we enter into a trial, we begin to fight off whatever it is that's trying to attack us. Take your position. Don't fight. Stand strong. The Lord will set ambush against anything that is trying to foil your purpose, and God will lead you in the way you should go. Why? Because when your consciousness is set that there is something through a process of time, you put your salvation, you put your completeness in the hands of time. You put your completeness in your efforts. You put your completeness in tomorrow. And today, you never walk in the fullness of Christ. Now, you are complete or full in Him, the Word says, who is the power of all authority. It's not referring to demons and devils. It's referring to anything that is an idea in any mind of anyone, be it spirit or human, that tries to make you believe or brings a resolve through reasoning. James, count it all joy. Something happens, God, this isn't a process. This is progress. I started to dig the hole. It's a hole. It'll never be any more of a hole than it is today. You started a work in me, and you finished that work, but it's not a process. This is progress. This is the promise. This is the will of the Father. I am complete in you. When you do that, you take on the mind of God, and you can see, as James says, something incredible is happening here, and God is positioning you so you can prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. That's what the church body needs today. We need to prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. I hear an exciting new sound. It's going to come through the revelation that Christ in me is my hope of glory. And I'm going to break the doctrinal idea, indoctrinated idea. And as I have said before, today, so much in leadership, and it's such a dominant doctrine that leaders have spared no expense at employing indoctrinated skilled tailors to endeavor to try and sew the veil of separation between God and man together by saying, we're getting there. We're not perfect. We're only human. The earth is imperfect. No. God blessed the earth. He made it for His purpose and for His pleasure. We shouldn't be identifying who we are. We should be identifying who He is. And He is perfect in all of His ways. But doctrine needs to understand. Men in their minds, they need to reason things out. And that's where doctrine comes in. We need to be able to reason out why we're going through this. So we're going to call it a process, meaning it's going to take time for us to develop into who God has created us to be. Wrong. That's the work of doctrine. That's like working in the old law. That's the traditions of men. And it keeps you from knowing that you are complete in Him today. Didn't say you wouldn't be tried. Didn't say you wouldn't deal with issues. Didn't say you might need to be made well or healed or a broken leg or a broken heart. I get it. But we have to understand Christ came that we could walk in the already fullness and overcoming power of God so the world could take on what Jesus said. Pray that the kingdom of God would be manifest in the earth as it is in heaven. And guess where that kingdom is? God said, I placed it on the inside of you. When man cannot understand, he forms an image. And that image has many different names. No one's perfect. The Word says we are complete in Him, which means in Him you are perfected in Him. When God looks at you, He says, work is done. Believe it. When trials come, when things happen, or you know you're not where you're supposed to be, this is what doctrine and religion says. God is teaching me something. I need to learn to be more forgiving. Let's talk honestly here, because no truth is of a lie, and no lie is of a truth. You've already learned to be forgiving. You don't want to forgive. You don't need to learn it. You just said it, so you know it. I need to learn. No, you don't need to learn. You need to be. You need to be. I need to learn to be more loving. No, you've already learned. You just rejected, and you don't want to love right now. So we have to call that a process, because what it does is it keeps us never getting there. It keeps us inconsistent with the Word of God. It keeps us inconsistent with the Word of prophecy. Well, my prophecy isn't coming to pass. You are the prophecy coming to pass. God gave it to you. He made you that living Word. My Word is in you, and it will abide in you. The Word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. But doctrine is very covert. Because man needs to reason out in his mind, there needs to be an explanation for why something is going on. So he creates an image. Call process for one. You know, back in the revolution, in the French Revolution, the people got tired of the church. They got tired of the dominant, overbearing attitude that anything, any knowledge they wanted, any revelation they had, they were considered a heretic. And they would chain them, they would kill them, they would execute them, they would imprison them. After many years, the church began to get tired of this tyranny. They just said, we're done. We're done. We're done with the church. We're done with the government. It just doesn't make sense. And religion will do that. Religion will drive you insane. It'll drive you to madness. That's why you need to believe the Word of God. The Word of God is not a word of evolution. It's a word of revelation. We are not an evolution of God. We are a manifestation of His Spirit. And we constantly experience God in new and wonderful ways, and that will never end. But that is not an evolution. That is a revelation. Christ being manifest. Christ being revealed in you. So what they did is the people rebelled against the church and against the government. The Dark Ages, or shortly after. And then they called this year the era of enlightenment. And what they did is they created a goddess and called her the goddess of reason. And what they said is, we won't believe or serve anything unless it makes sense, unless it can be reasoned out. Church does the same thing today. They try to intellectualize a theory that can explain why we're going through something. God never told you He would explain why you were going through it. He said He would give you the revelation to take you into it. Just like He took Noah into the ark. He didn't say, listen, I'm going to explain all the details. He just said, build a boat, going to come a flood, get inside, I'll keep you, just believe my word. And Noah believed God. God didn't explain everything to Abraham. He told Abraham, bring your son, your only son, He said, and make him an offering to me. Abraham said, I'm going to bring my son. But Abraham took his position. He said, God's word stands. He said, we're going up and we are coming down. If he dies, he dies, but God will raise him from the dead. Just like Jehoshaphat said, stand strong. Stand in your position. No enemy, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We have to take one or the other. A double-minded individual is unstable in all their ways. Let that person not think that God can get through to them, because God is ever-present. God is beyond human reasoning. Doctrine tries to surmise the will, the wisdom, the wonders of God into the same cup of reason that they drank during the French Revolution. And it's the same image. It's the image of reason. Well, the reason we're going through this, it's a process for it. No, the reason we're going through it is, James says, count it all joy, because God is calling on your faith. So the kingdom of God that is on the inside of you takes on all the different natures and characters that the kingdom of God is. Paul said, I pray constantly for the spirit of wisdom and revelation for you, so you may know Him better, so you may know Him more. He's no more God today than He was yesterday, nor will He be any more God tomorrow. He is God, almighty, all power, all present, with you all the time. And when you take on the heart and the mind that this isn't man's agenda, this isn't about reasoning, this is about revelation, then revelation will come. God will bring out of you what's going to transform around you what needs to change and bring you into the season God has called you to. And then you'll look and see, not because you made up your mind or understood in your head what God was doing, but God revealed through you who He is. God doesn't do anything that He is not. Everything He does, He is. He is righteous. He is holy. He is good. He is kind. He is loving. He is just. He is faithful. He is present. He's all God all the time, and He's always with you in the fullness of who He is. You are called to walk in the fullness, not to defer your hope, not to give your victory into another time or another battle or another season or you. It's Him. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's where the new exciting sound comes from that revelation. Tearing down the idolatry of reason, the goddess of reason. They made this goddess, man made this image, draped her in blue, and said, and carried her and set her up and say, anything that is not of this goddess of reason, who made that? Man. What is the image? What is the actual idol that has ever been created? Man. His mind, His thoughts, His reason, His will. And here's the thing. You'll never know your fullness until you know God in you is beyond your reason with you. And revelation to you is Christ living through you. This is the greatest season of your life. Temptation is not a power. It's an option. Temptation is not powerful. It's optional. You choose. The power of temptation is not external, it's internal. And as long as you're in a process of getting where you're supposed to be, you leave that space, you leave that gap between you and God for temptation to tempt you. And where did it come from? It came from there. No, it came from here. Every man falls to temptation when he is tempted by his own desires and his own lusts that dwell within that person. But when we begin to believe, according to your faith be it unto you, the centurion soldier comes and says, no time, no space, my house doesn't have to be clean, I'm not making any decree on my righteousness, as a matter of fact, I'll say I'm unworthy. You speak the word right here, right now, this minute, today. Not one more step has to be taken, and it will be done. Jesus, the kingdom of God, marveled and said, that's what I'm talking about today. Right here, right now. This is the day. This is the moment. You are complete in Him. But if you reason it out, you create an image, you create an idol in your own mind that it has something to do with your efforts, your rebuking, your screaming, your crying, your begging, your pleading, your fasting. No, it has to do with you surrendering to Christ in the fullness that He is, and that Christ is manifest in you. That's why the Word says, take it on like this. It's no longer you that are alive. It's Christ that lives in you. And the life you live right now forward is no longer you, but it's Christ dwelling in you, Christ filling you with the fullness of who He is and what He is. The image of reason and the image of intelligible explanations denies the power of God. The Word says there are people that they have a form of godliness, they talk about it, but they deny the very power thereof. Today is the day of the Lord. Jesus made Himself known to you today. In Him you're living and you're moving and you're having your being. The question is, what is God saying about today? What can be had today? What can I know about who Christ in me is today that I may not get if I wait till tomorrow? Because Jesus said, this is the day. Say of the Lord, this is the day God has made. What am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to accept the fullness that God has given me in this day. I'm going to see Romans 8:28. Everything in today, everything is working out for my good because I love Him, He loves me, and I am called according to His purpose. And my God, His thoughts towards you are so good and so many you couldn't count them. The word of the Lord is a word of revelation and not evolution. It's a word of bringing us back together, uniting us in the oneness of who Christ in us is. Intellectualizing a means of trying to survive something you don't like ends up pushing God in our minds out of the equation because He's beyond reason. Instead of saying, God is with me in this. Peter stands in the ship, the waves are being tossed, sees an image walking, and he says, they were afraid, and he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me. Jesus says, it's me. Say, it's you, Lord. You're experiencing something in your life, turn the experience into what it's supposed to be. It's you, Lord. Oh, you're telling me that's God? Don't build, don't shape the goddess of reason and put it up in your living room and say you serve God. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts, so beyond your thoughts. He's not going to explain His thoughts to you, but He will reveal them through you. Because everything we experience in God has to come through Christ, and we experience Christ through faith. There is something incredible about you. You have a tremendous deposit to make into the earth. God is doing something so beyond reason, that you won't know what you're doing. But you'll do it because God said to do it. And then that gives you the mind of revelation, which brings about the transformation that God promised. What does that mean? God seen in a different way. God seen in a great way. God seen in a powerful way. And now you begin to rejoice, not because you understood what God was doing, but you knew to believe Him even when you didn't. And you know what that does? It keeps you from being incomplete. It keeps you from feeling insufficient. It keeps you from thinking that you don't know where you are. Here's the problem with the process. We never know how far along in it we are. So we never know how much further we have to go. And we don't know, based on a lifespan, if we have enough time to get there. And we never enjoy the fullness of the moment at hand. Jesus already dealt with this, guys. Show us the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. Why do you think I'm here? I came to purge your consciousness from you. So you didn't need reasoning in order to believe God. You just hungered for revelation. You wanted a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the knowledge that He came. Thank God He laid down His life. Thank God He rose on the third day by the glory of the Father. Thank God He ascended on high. Thank God He sent the power of His Spirit in you crying, Abba, Father. Thank God. If Christ is in you, the body of reasoning is dead because the Spirit of life abounds in you. It's the same thing it's always been. What's holding you back? Idolatry. There is no God but God. There is no power but Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You know what the power of evil is in the world? Those that believe it is. You know the weakness of said power? Unbelief that it is, and belief that God is all. If we worship Him in fullness, if we worship Him as God Almighty, ever present, ever powerful, if we believe that we are complete in Him who is head over all things, then our minds take on the nature of who we are called to be because we finally believe who we are in Christ. Again, we claim we know who we are in Him, but do you know who He is in you? Christ in you is the hope of glory, and this is the greatest season of your life. If you believe, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Stand with me. Let's open our heads, our hearts, our minds. Let's pull on heaven for a minute. How amazing that God is going to do through you things beyond your ability to reason them out. You know what that makes you feel like? Christ is in me. God is in me. The Lord is with me. I had such an incredible dream I've shared with you a few weeks ago. And the body of the dream was, God's right here. God's right here. And I still cannot put into words what that experience was. I don't know I'll ever be able to. It doesn't matter. The experience is real. Christ is in you. That experience is real. But Paul said, I beseech you. I'm going to do old King James Version because it's one I'm best versed at. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Did you hear what that said? Holy, completely acceptable to God. And then he says, that's worship. Doctrine, oh, I'm not just a sinner. Well, you better get saved because no sinner will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the word says. Feigned humility, goddess of reason, and you wonder why things just don't seem to come together. Paul said, don't be conned into a form. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's today. Why? So you can prove. Pretty big call, but it's no weight at all. So you can prove the perfect, good, acceptable will of God. And that's what's going to bring transformation into the world. God's going to do a work through the body. I hear an exciting sound. I see new fruit. I see the church looking from a window that is high, a window that looks at the earth from a higher perspective, the perspective of the kingdom of God. And in that is the revelation of the Lord, the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, the Hebrew children in the furnace, Daniel in the den, Joseph in Pharaoh's court, Moses in the land of Egypt, the wonders of God. Because the kingdom of God, the Greek is, it's within your grasp, which is why we take this rope and do what we do. It's just a representation. How close is the kingdom? Right here. The kingdom of heaven is within our grasp. And Father, we praise you that you're ever present. We worship you, O God, that you are Lord over all. Jesus, you are the only way. You are the only truth. You are the only life. And to know the truth, to become the truth, makes us free indeed. Father, I thank you for the new day. I thank you for the new sound. I thank you for the new image. I thank you for the brightness of your people. I thank you for the elevated perspective of your kingdom as we look into the earth and see your will and your purpose. That we see this day as an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, that we are not in trouble. We are in position. We take our position. We stand in position. God is with us. God is for us. And that doesn't just mean we overcome bad things. That means we see the goodness of the Lord. We see the favor of our God. We see the fulfilling of the word of the Lord. We see the earth filled with the truth of God. We see nations telling the truth. So God will give someone a vision of telling the truth. God will give someone a vision of being a well, of being a stream. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of life-giving water. Today, under the sound of this word, I declare to you, I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of Jesus Christ. Walk in the power of this bright new day that God has made. Know that the blessing and the favor of the Lord reigns all over you and encompasses you in ways you cannot explain. It is beyond your reason. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the day of our God and of His Christ. And Father, for it we give you praise. And we declare, as the word is said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord our God has spoken. The blessing of the Lord is in the earth. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and everyone that dwells in it. God, so be glorified. So be pleased. So be praised. So be heard. I hear a sound of rejoicing in the earth. I see the dawning of a day that is right now. God is waking people up right now. Not a tomorrow day, a today day. This is the day. God has opened my eyes to see as I should see, to hear as you should hear, to know as you should know, to do as you should do, and the power to do it is in you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now, y'all, that isn't evil spirits and sin and all that. Pulling down of strongholds. And it tells us right here what it is. Casting down every thought, every image, all imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing that into captivity. Literally what it's saying is take any idea of anything overwhelming, overcoming, or against you and bring it down and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? I cast down every thought, every imagination, every idea that exalts itself against God, that draws my attention away from worshiping God, from knowing God is in it. God is with us. God is all authority. and God will bless me in all my ways. Take your position, Jehoshaphat said. The prophet's word was, take your position and stand firm. I say to you today, take your position and stand firm, for the glory of the Lord will be revealed to you and through you, and you will know this is the greatest season of my life. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. Great is God. It's happening today. It's not even a weekday, but heaven's being poured out today. The signs of the time is the revelation of God being manifest through His people. You are the time. You are the clock. You are the sign. You are the mark. You bear the image of the one and only God and His Christ. This is the hour of transformation. This is the day of the Lord. This is the revealing of God and of His Christ. The Lord will bless our nation. The Lord will bless our earth. God, we give you praise that you reign and you rule in the nations and the hearts of men. God, that you turn the hearts of kings, whatever direction you will. And when the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. God, we give you praise that you have given us authority in the earth to declare your name, not to be two-souled or double-minded, but to in all our ways acknowledge you, and you direct our paths. Father, we worship you and declare this is the blessed hour of God. This is the season of the Lord. Everything you look at, you're going to see the fingerprint of God on it. It's you, Lord. As Peter said, is it you? Jesus said, it's me. He said, it's him. And he walked on the water. Whether one step, whether half a step, whether 10 steps, he walked on the water. Can you walk on the water today? Regardless, God has you in his hand. This is your day. This is your hour. This is your day of blessing of the Lord. If you believe it, shout, yeah!